Well, good morning and welcome to Down to Brass Tacks for this Easter Monday, April 13th, 2020. I'm David Ellis, and today we dedicate this program to Barbadians abroad and how they are coping with COVID-19. The program is not for the regular callers today, unless you are reporting experiences that are related specifically to loved ones who live abroad or those who have contracted COVID-19 living abroad. Now, those of you who are abroad are asked to reach us at 434-1790, or you can text us WhatsApp number 266-4862. Let's go through that again. 266-4862. Today's edition of Down to Brass Tacks comes to you with the compliments of Williams Industries Incorporated. A reminder that today's edition of Down to Brass Tacks is coming to you in association with Williams Industries Incorporated. Now, we have some people on the telephone. They are in the United States and in Britain as well. And we are going to join them to get their overview. First of all, I believe we should have among those Neval Greenidge, who is our consul general in, I believe it is Florida. Good morning, Mr. Greenidge. Are you there? And if not Neval Greenidge, who else is on the line this morning? Hello.
This is Dr. Louis Brown in Houston, Texas.
Dr. Louis Brown, Houston, Texas. And tell us a little bit about your work in Houston, Texas.
Well, I am a retired college professor. I was retired in 2011, and I'm the Honorary Consul for Barbados in the state of Texas.
Okay. Who else do we have with us at this stage?
Good morning, David. This is Guy Hewitt calling in from Florida. And a blessed Easter to you and all Barbadians at home and abroad.
Thank you. And who else do we have?
Marty Holder. Good morning, David. Good morning, Barbados. Happy Easter to all from New York.
And your Consul General in New York.
That's correct.
Okay. And who else?
Hello, Barbados. I'm Rita Jannard. I live in the West Midlands. Happy Easter to all in Barbados.
Okay, thank you, Rita. Thanks for joining us. Now, Mackie Holder, we have to start with you because New York has really been the epicenter of the COVID-19 outbreak in the United States. And Barbados has really been hard hit. Quite a number of people whom many people in this country know quite well have passed away as a consequence of this. Give us your overview of what's been happening. How challenging has it been, and what impact has that had on you in your work?
It has been brutal in New York. It's extremely depressing, challenging. We have more than 20 Barbadians who have died. Those are confirmed cases. I can tell you that I'll be adding to that list later today as I confirm reports of others. This is going in for me, our fifth week of being at home. Of course, work is still going on. Our staff is working remotely. But just as Barbadians have felt, It is a challenge to be home. For me personally, it's not a problem. I'm accustomed to working from home. But the whole city, as you know, is shut. There's still challenges going on in the city with some instances of deviancy. The mayor and the governor are dealing with that. But overall, right now, as we go into the fifth week, things are sort of settling. Initially, there were the same issues that Barbados have gone through and is still going through, including the run on toilet paper, which no one can figure. that things have settled nicely this morning. As I speak, the mayor of New York is doing his daily report. I watch four reports every day, the mayor's, the governor of New Jersey, and what comes out of the White House. And the good news today is that the numbers are beginning to come down. The numbers on in intensive care and the numbers that are dying. New York has lost close to 10,000 persons so far. We have a long way to go. We're not out of the woods as yet. In terms of the Barbini community, the Brooklyn community would have been hit hard. The first reports we received would have been of Pearson Jordan, extremely popular, former Barbados Olympian. And from there, it has been basically gone downhill. Desmond Weeks, to name one case, he's lost two sisters almost back to back. One sister passed yesterday, one last week. Y'all would know him from the Drayton's too. We've lost. It's brutal. Some days are better than others. The worst thing about this job now, obviously, is speaking to families who have lost loved ones. There's no going to the hospital. In some cases, there's a long wait to get the bodies. New York is now going to mass burials. Everything is overwhelmed. Hospitals are overwhelmed. Undertakers are overwhelmed. Graveyards are overwhelmed. It is probably the worst. It is beyond imagination, as they say. It's just a total nightmare. But I can tell you that, generally speaking, folks in New York is a city of 8 million plus. Folks in New York have generally adhered to the regulations. And I would say to my fellow Barbadians, as I have said already, it is important that you adhere to the guidelines of the government, listen to the Prime Minister, the Minister of Health, the Acting Chief Medical Officer, and the team. Stay at home. There is nothing worth going out there for that is so important. Stay at home, sanitize. If you have to go 6 feet apart, and sanitize as soon as you come through the door. Take off your clothes, spray down your shoes, do that. It is working. We have to look out for each other. And in New York, we are assuming that we are carriers. And that is why we've gone to wearing masks now, and that is where masks have come into the picture. You assume that you're a carrier because you don't know, and that protects you from giving it to someone, and it gives you some added protection as well.
Mr. Holder, in the case of New York, approximately how many Barbadians have been reported to you as having died from it?
As I said at the beginning, I can confidently say there are over 20.
Over 20. Of course, that does not take into account the number of Barbadians who have actually come down with it.
No, we don't have, obviously, we don't have those figures. And whatever, unfortunately, whatever number I give you will be undercounted, because there are obviously people who have passed away from COVID-19 that we do not have a report on. And there was a little incident over here with some folks at a party. And since then, obviously, some folks are hiding the fact that they may have been tested positive or their loved ones would have passed from COVID. But I can confidently say there are more than 20 deaths in New York so far.
As a diplomat at the center of all of this for Barbadians, how has this impacted on you personally?
Personally, as I said, David, I'm accustomed working from home. I'm accustomed working from deadlines. The dread is to speak to families who have lost loved ones and friends. When PG died, which was the first case, confirmed case, you know, people were calling. And then we had, in quick time, another death. After that, in the space of 24 hours, there were two popular individuals. And I kid you not when I tell you people were bawling. I had to speak to the sister of a young lady who died on Saturday. You know, she was happy that I called, but I was barely listening because for the whole 2-3 minutes on the phone, she was just crying. Her sister died in New York. She lives in the Boston area. No, in Maryland. She lives in Maryland. So it is that part of that part right now is extremely emotional. It's tough. It's really tough when folks cannot, as we say in Barbados, give their family and friends a proper spin-off. This does not have anything, this is not in my jurisdiction, but Barry Downs, you know, I grew up with Barry. I grew up with Barry's mom. I grew up with Barry's dad. I grew up with his stepdad. His dad is our honorary counsel in Boston. So, you know, these things are hard. They're personal. I must tell you this, before a Barbadian died, you know, you still have that kind of little distance from it. Yes, you're doing all the protocols. You're looking after staff. You're making sure staff is safe. But once it gets into the community and once it starts, taking people that you actually have a relationship with, then it becomes really, really, really tough. The Brooklyn community is reeling, I can tell you that.
Okay.
It's a tough time.
Well, let's move from New York and let's go over to Britain. Tyrone Roach, good morning.
Good afternoon, David.
Well, it's afternoon for you, it's morning for me.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's hear from you a bit about background information on yourself first, and then what's been happening there from your vantage point.
Well, David, I work with I am the public relations officer for the National Council of Barbadian Associations right across the UK, and it's been tough in our community. We've had people with virus, and we've had others who have died, and you know. And it's impacting us greatly.
Any sense of how many people have died so far that you know of? Because there are those that you may know nothing about.
Yeah, I think so. But we were having a sort of a round robin this morning, myself and others. And we in ourselves feel that right across the UK, there's more than 20 Barbadians have died.
Wow.
With from the virus. But we feel also there are a lot of other people who have had underlying illnesses as a result of the virus and the lockdown and all that kind of stuff. We think that might help hurry up the deaths and stuff like that. So at the moment we don't have figures, but we intend to start collecting stats.
Okay. And that's one side of it. That's the macro picture, so to speak. But let's bring this now to the personal experience. What has it done to your life?
Well, unfortunately, I'm a key worker, so I'm one of those people who have to go to work because I also work for a company that overlooks all of London stuff. So I have to go to work because I'm an engineer. But for us in London with the lockdown, you stay at home and you stay isolated from family. So, you know, with your celebrations, with your birthdays and the funerals, you cannot do that. As soon as someone has a virus in the hospital, you cannot attend and stuff. So it's impacting a lot of people. And, you know, in London, right across the UK, you have people who live in multi-tenanted homes. So people might rent a room in that house somewhere. It's hard to have that social distancing. And when you walk down the street, or you walk down the street even for exercise, you can find that people will step into the middle of the road. Most people will step into the middle of the road so they can keep that 6 foot apart. Because apparently that's the when you sneeze or anything, that is how far the sneeze will spread. So, and even in where I live, they've closed down all the local parks. So you can't go down to a park and drive around or walk around. It's not right across the UK that, but just locally, they've done that as well.
How have people adjusted to it, as far as you can see, among the Bajan community? Because I assume that in many instances, Bajans have been people who get together quite a bit.
Yeah, we. I think the majority of people are quite disciplined in staying indoors. And, you know, elderly are very vulnerable. So I've spoken to a lot of them, and they're having to stay inside and adjust. Some are telling me that they can't do that because the Lord will look after them and stuff like that. But I got one of my colleagues, who might be phoning in later, told me that a fellow phoned and told me that if you can organize a domino match, because they're getting quite bored, inside. I mean, that's the kind of stuff. But basically, I think most people are adjusting to the lockdown.
All right. We also have on the line from Britain, Rita Gerard. Rita, what's your experience?
Hello,
been?
David.
Yes.
Hello.
Share with us your experience.
Yes, well, I can speak from a purely personal place when it comes to COVID-19, because unfortunately I contracted the disease just as Britain went into lockdown. It started as they say, a high temperature, a cough. And before I knew it, I was aching. It was like I was being crushed. It was an unbelievable experience. A lot of people think that the disease just causes something like flu-like symptoms, but I'd like to assure everybody across Barbados, across the UK, that it does not work like that. COVID has a completely different way of dealing with your body. Fortunately for me, I was able to fight the infection at home, which was incredibly frightening, because when you're dealing with irritating cough to the point where you can't breathe, and you feel that, like I said, your chest is being squeezed and it's burning and there isn't anywhere on your body that doesn't hurt. It's unlike any flu that I've ever experienced in my lifetime. So all I can say to people, not only in Barbados, but across America, across the world, take this thing seriously. Stay at home. It is no joke.
What's your own Barbadian background?
My mother is from St. George. I have other family around Barbados also. My father, unfortunately, is from Jamaica. I shouldn't really say that. But because I love Barbados so much, I can say that. But that's what my background is.
Okay, so let's go back to the United States. Dr. Louis Brown, Honorary Counsel in Houston.
Yeah.
What's the experience that you all are facing there?
Well, I'm not aware of any Barbadians that have come down with the virus. I did some checking, and all those that I've spoken to have said that they're not aware of anyone who have had it. Of course, everyone is in lockdown. All those that I spoke to emphasized that they were not going to work. There are some of them that are working from home. There are a number of people here involved in the oil and glass gas industry, and they are remaining and working from home. So as far as I know at this point, there is no one that I'm aware of that has contracted the disease in Texas or in Houston. I feel pretty confident that there may be some in other parts of Texas, but I'm not aware of any.
From that distance, what have you been following at the Barbados end?
Well, I listen to the news, the Barbados news. I try to follow that as often as I can. I did hear all of the speeches by the Prime Minister. And so I try to follow it as closely as possible there. I was actually in Barbados until 2 weeks ago, and I had planned to be there at this point in time. However, because of the cancellation of the flights coming out, and I wasn't sure when I would get out eventually, so I decided to leave early. So I was actually in Barbados for the beginning of this, and I have to say, personally, I felt safer in Barbados at that time than I thought I would be here in the United States because of what was being done there as opposed to what was happening on this end.
And what's the difference that you've seen?
Well, that they've gone on top of it early. The government jumped on it pretty early. When here, there was still some question as to what should be done, and they were holding back. My son happens to be a physician. As a matter of fact, he is an ER doctor who is right on top of all of this. He's right on the front line as we speak. And he said to me, he called me actually when I was in Barbados and said, you really need to come back because this thing is very, very serious. This is nothing to play with. As a matter of fact, way back when he first heard of it, he told me that it's going to come here and it's going to come pretty heavy. So he was actually preparing for some time for this. So I'm personally involved from that perspective. But because of what he told me and what he had said, I knew that there was really should have been done more on this end. So when I saw what was happening in Barbados, I felt pretty confident that, you know, things would be better there at the time. That's the reason why I felt confident that I could have stayed there and dealt with it in Barbados. But as I said, because of the question as to whether I would be able to get out of Barbados to return, that's what made me leave at that point in time.
Now, we are looking at how COVID has changed and impacted on the lives of Barbadians living abroad. No matter where you are in the world, this is a program that is for you. You can call us directly at 434-1790. You're not restricted to living in New York or London or Toronto, because we know that we have Barbadians living all over the world. And wherever you are, COVID has most likely touched your community and your activity. It is exclusively for Barbadians abroad and those who have been touched by the extent to which COVID has affected their friends and relatives in particular who are living abroad. This edition of Down to Brass Tacks comes to you in association with Williams Industries Incorporated.
You do not have to be a roofing expert to know that a metal sheet will rust where it is joined. That is one reason why the beautiful Permaclad U-Panel and R-Panel roof sheet sold at Williams Metals will outlast other roofing materials. Permaclad, colorclad, and corrugated sheets are cut to the exact length that you will need, up to 40 feet and even longer. That means no joins from ridge to eave. Colorclad sheets come with a factory painted finish in white, blue, green, red, brown, and yellow, and are fitted with screws for added resistance, tested to withstand high winds up to 130 miles an hour. Get a rail roof supplied at competitive prices. Delivered to you today from Williams Metals. Simply call Williams at Kane Garden St. Thomas 425-2000 or Lowlands Christchurch 428-1500.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Okay. We also have on the line with us Reverend Guy Hewitt. Reverend Guy Hewitt is a former High Commissioner in the UK, but he is now living in the United States. Good morning.
Good morning, David. Good morning to you and to the whole of the OB team. As I said initially, allow me to begin by wishing all Barbadians and hoping God the blessings of Easter, and that I hope people experience the joy of the resurrection at these difficult times. When you ask about how people are feeling, I tried to find a way of capturing this, and I thought the best way of trying to sum up this COVID-19 pandemic is to quote Dickens. You know, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. You know, it, and we understand the worst of times. We are combating a global pandemic that is taking its toll in terms of mortality. And I want to use this time to convey condolences to the family of our brother, Barry Downs, who was a victim of COVID, and we celebrated his life on Saturday, but also to convey condolences to all Barbadian family and friends who are grieving the loss of loved ones. But we know this pandemic is also taking a toll in terms of the physical and psychological well-being and socio-cultural connectivity. That means everything to us as Asians. But every cloud has a silver lining, and I find that this time is proving to be useful in terms of people reprioritizing the meaning and value of life. That simple things like health and wellness, family and friendship bonds, and fundamental needs in terms of food and water and shelter and safety are again being given priority instead of getting caught up with some of the distractions and frivolities of life. But in say that it has been a most challenging time, most challenging probably in generations, probably the first half of the last century. We have never experienced such a level of loss, suffering, and uncertainty. But again, in the midst of this, people are reconnecting to their faith, and they're trying to seek meaning from through their beliefs and their God from this pandemic. And we know that Bajans are people of faith, and what we have to do is faith during this pandemic. Although for me, now functioning as a full-time priest, it has been hard to be conducting worship, especially during Holy Week in the empty church.
Sorry, just hold on a minute. There's a noise in the background. I don't know if somebody's phone seems to be moving a lot, so that will create problems. Any noise from your end is going to come through on the air, so just be careful with it. Yes.
I
yes,
think the video have to ask people to mute their phones.
Yeah, if possible. Yeah. Yes, you were saying.
I was saying, you know, as a people of faith, this has been especially difficult going through Holy Week and particularly Easter in this liturgical isolation. Preaching to empty pews with parish families just online, it's been a struggle for them to find this blessed assurance. You know, people have been feeling, you know, is there any hope? But the joy of having Easter, I think, in the midst of this, is that we get the good news that says, yes, there is hope, that there is light at the end of the tunnel, and that we can come through this as a people and as a world community.
This has been written to us. This person says they don't want the name called. Well, I wasn't going to call their name anyhow. I wish to share my experience so that Barbadians would start taking the effects of this virus seriously. I'm a Barbadian presently living in the USA. I am not in New York City, though. COVID-19 has significantly affected my family and left a wound in our hearts that only the Lord Jesus Christ can heal. The person goes on to say, on Tuesday, March 31st, we received the dreaded news that my sister's daughter, who lives in the UK, had died from complications related to COVID-19. It was around 11:30 a.m. that morning that I received that news. It was devastating. But to compound the situation was when we heard how she was left to die without a ventilator or oxygen. Because when she was admitted to the hospital, there were no beds, ventilators, or oxygen tanks available. Therefore, she was placed on a cot in the ER and left to die. We were forced to depend on updates from the nurses because no one was allowed past the entrance door to the ER. I guess it was a situation where the medical personnel were playing God, so they were selecting who lived and who died. She died alone, says the writer. She was admitted Thursday, March 26th, her birthday, and died 5 days later, She was only 30 years old. Sophia was an asthmatic and had other health conditions. She fought and overcame every asthma attack over the years. She was hospitalized for over a year in 2017, at which time we thought she would have died. And she fought and overcame that illness also. But this virus was too much for her body. The most disturbing part of all of this is that persons are dying alone, and they are also being buried alone, or their bodies are being cremated in the absence of family members, as was done in Sophia's case, because absolutely no gatherings are allowed anymore. Therefore, you are not certain if the ashes that you receive are the ashes of your loved ones. It's a horrible time. But God must be glorified in the midst of it all. The writer then goes on to say this: I am beseeching my fellow Barbadians to stay at home and stay safe. As this virus has no name, class, color, or age, anyone can be infected and die a horrible death, as my niece did. In some cases, people are dying here in the U.S. who did not have any underlying health conditions. It may be a case where no equipment is available for you at the time you are admitted to the hospital. Everyone, please listen to the compassionate plea of our Prime Minister and do everything within your power to stay home and stay safe. Most states in the USA are like war zones at this time. People are dying daily by the hundreds, and I believe that this is due in part to the mismanagement of this situation by the federal government. God has given Barbados a forward-thinking, proactive, mature leader. Please don't take her for granted. Please heed to the directives that are given. May God bless Barbados and continue to give the leadership team wisdom at this time. COVID-19 is nothing to take lightly. This is serious, says the writer. When I asked about her niece, she told me the niece was not born in Barbados, but her sister was. That is, the sister of the writer. She said, my sister lived in the UK most of her life. She left Barbados when she was 9 years old. Any thoughts? Any reaction from our panelists to what we've heard there?
David, if I can respond to this pastorally. On Saturday, when we performed the service at the ground.
When you did what?
When we came together on Saturday for the funeral service of Barry Downs, I appreciated the challenge that it was for his family living abroad, being separated from him at the time of his illness and the time of his death. And although we gave thanks for a meaningful life, I made 2 points to them, which is relevant to everybody who is trying to deal with the sickness or the death of a loved one during this pandemic. And the first point I made was, although they were physically separated from him when he took ill, that they were connected with him spiritually, and he would have felt their love and prayers. But more importantly, I wanted them to know, and I want everyone to know, that despite loved ones being confined and isolated during illness and death, that when we die with a belief in God and a belief in Christ, we never die alone. And this is where, David, our faith and our belief becomes crucial at this time. That we have got to really understand what we are professing and what we believe as Christians, as any children of the Son of Abraham, whether Jews, whether Muslims, that we hold on to that blessed assurance that we are saved by God's grace and eternal love, and that is a love that will not let us go. And I keep saying to people now, With faith, we need to change how we look at death, that we feel if we look that we are going from the land of the living to the land of the lost. The truth is, when we look at death through the lens of faith, we realize we have it backwards. That while we think that we're going from the living to the dead, actually, through faith in Christ, we are going from death to eternal life. And that is what we know from John 3:16. So I know people are struggling, are suffering because of that sense of physical distance. We did a funeral service on Saturday, and none of Barry's immediate family was there physically, but they were there spiritually, and we made sure we got a funeral home that could do the live streaming, and we had hundreds of people online who shared in that Thanksgiving. And so it means for us as ministers, as faith leaders, that we have to be especially creative, but very honest with people in terms of what our faith should mean and what assurances we do get and what hope from that belief in God, especially through Christ.
Thank you. Let's cross over to Jeff. Yes, hi. Who's speaking?
My name is Tim Downs, and I'm from Boston.
Tim Downs, and yes.
I'm Barry's father in Boston.
Our condolences to you and your family.
Well, thank you very much. I just want to say, express my sincere appreciation and thanks to Father Hewitt for all he has done during this time. He has done a remarkable job under the circumstances, but I just want to say that right now. But thank you very much.
Thank you, and my prayers continue with you and your family.
Thank you.
What has it been like for your family in all of this?
Well, you know, he has two brothers and two sisters here in Boston. We all watched it from our home. And it was very difficult. It's been extremely difficult. And for those of you who knew Barry, he was a great son. And to be here in Boston and could not be there for him at this particular time has been very, very difficult.
How did this unfold? For the family, how did this unfold?
Well, on a month, a week ago, Monday, I got a call from someone in Florida who told me that he had taken Barry to the hospital. I turned and called Barry then. I spoke to him on Monday. I spoke to him on Tuesday. And as the week went along, I thought that he was going to make progress to get out of this mess. Unfortunately, on Sunday, the 5th, he died. It's been a very, very hard, taxing thing on our family, both here and in Barbados. And as I said, working with Father Hewitt made it somewhat easier because he was tremendous.
But you are also consul in Boston. And based
honorary consul,
and that means that you're looking across at what's happening in New York, and the precautions, the advice. What is it like there among the Barbadian community?
Well, I guess the community here in general have been taking this the advice from the mayor and the governor. And the streets are shut down. I have not heard any Barbadians who have contracted and died from it here in Boston, predominantly Boston. But I am sure that if it does happen, that I will be contacted. We are under the same rules and guidelines that New York is under. We have just had over 25,000 cases tested positive, and our death our death rate is rising. We have almost 800 right now. But hopefully, as the governor and the mayor has been saying, it's looking like it's starting to bend that curve. So we're hoping that that happens. We have some of the best hospitals and doctors here. So the one thing that I have to also let you know, one of my other sons worked on the front line at one of the hospitals, and I'm also very concerned about him. So, you know, that's been a little concern of mine too.
Well, coming back to Mackie Holder, there are some who are asking the question, how many of those that have died, the Bajans that have died in New York, are people who were on the front line working in hospitals? Have any sense of that?
David, not many. In fact, I don't have any evidence at all that these were frontline workers. Most of these are female, interestingly enough, and with pre-existing conditions, and most are trending in the elderly direction. The youngest person who would have died, I got a report of a young lady who would be 50, the one who died on Saturday, she would have been 50 in a week. And I believe that Don Drew Gibbons, who was one of the first reports, who died in Connecticut, would have been 47. Barry, of course, would have been quite young as well. I don't want to go over the Barry situation. As I said earlier, I knew Barry, as we say in Barbados, from the time he was born. And those are the younger ones. But generally speaking, the persons who have passed would have had pre-existing conditions and tend to be over 60 for sure.
Okay. A reminder that this is Down to Brass Tacks, and it's coming to you in association with Williams Industries Incorporated. When we come back, we will hear from Neval Greenwich. Okay, Neval Greenwich.
Good morning. Good morning, David.
Yes, welcome.
Good morning, David.
Yes, good
Thank
morning.
Thank you.
Welcome to the program. Let's hear what's happening from Miami. You are honorary consul to Miami.
I'm the consul general, yeah.
Yes. And what is the situation there?
Thanks, David, for the opportunity to speak with you and to speak to Barbadians, both at home and those here in the diaspora, especially those in southeastern U.S. I want to particularly, especially, say a very good morning to them and to those who have been on the program so far. I also want to take this opportunity, David, to express my sincerest condolences to the families of two very good friends who have succumbed to this horrible virus. Police that worked with me in the police department, Constable Ferguson, 205, who was my senior in the police department in service, as well as Constable Hall, who has been doing yeoman service for the Barbadian community in New York, as well as back in Barbados.
He so that's Anthony Hall?
Anthony Hall.
Ooh, Anthony Hall. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And Ferguson died here in Barbados?
Yes, Ferguson died in Barbados. And Tony was my very good friend as well. He worked with me directly at CID. And to their families, I would want to express my condolences. I mean, there's also Michelle Boxhill in Barbados, in the U.S., in Miami, whose parents I grew up with. I knew Michelle from a very little girl as well. And then I had another friend. Thank God she has been discharged from hospital, Mandy, who's doing quite well, I understand, from her mom. To all of them, I want to give my best regards. As it relates to us here in the southeastern U.S., especially in Florida, we have around 6,000 cases reported just over here in the Miami-Dade area, and we've had just over 400 deaths. Throughout the state, we've had, I think, probably over about 1,000 deaths. But I've only had one report of a death and a major illness, and that was sadly Barry. I have been in contact with my honorary consul, Zorong, honorary consul David Cutting in Atlanta. I have been in touch with Dr. Brung, who was on earlier in Texas. Dr. Strenecki, as you know, we have a pretty big population as well in Kentucky, where Dr. Strenecki is, and those were mainly the teachers, where Dr. Lee is as well, and we have had no reports from them. I've had no reports from my honorary consul in North Carolina. So I think all in all, and that's not to say that we might not have cases, but they haven't been reported to us. We have done very well in this area from the reports that I have to date. And as it relates to our honorary consul in Boston, I would also want to express my condolences to him, because I met Barry when I first got here just over a year, 18 months ago. About 18 months ago was the first time I actually met Barry. And we developed a good rapport. And it was really sad when I heard that he had passed, because he has been one that works in the Barbadian community in a very big way. And now that we're also on the point of Barbadians in the community, I'm also privileged to have three outstanding clerics in my area. I have, you just heard Father Hewitt, who I can call on at any time, and he was the one who did the service for Barry on Saturday. I also have Reverend Anthony Holder, who is also a Barbadian here in my area in Florida, that gives me yeoman service and works very well in the community. And then there's Father Winston, a young cleric, is in Atlanta. So all in all, we have been doing quite well. I pray it continues this way, and that if there are any cases, that the Barbadians would recover well. And I just want to encourage Barbadians at home to understand that this virus is no joke. And please adhere to the guidelines that have been set down for maintaining good health.
Okay, we'll be right back. A reminder that this edition of Brass Tacks is coming to you in association with Williams Industries Incorporated.
You do not have to be a roofing expert to know that a metal sheet will rust where it is joined. That is one reason why the beautiful Permaclad U-Panel and R-Panel roof sheet sold at Williams Metals will outlast other roofing materials. Permaclad, colorclad, and corrugated sheets are cut to the exact length that you will need, up to 40 feet and even longer. That means no joints from ridge to eave. Colorclad sheets come with a factory-painted finish in white, blue, green, red, brown, and yellow, and are fitted with screws for added resistance, tested to withstand high winds up to 130 miles an hour. Get a rail roof supplied at competitive prices, delivered to you today from Williams Metals. Simply call Williams at Kane Garden St. Thomas, 425-2000, or Lowlands Christ Church, 428-1500.
Visit their website at www.williamsmetals.bb.
Tyrone Roach.
Hello, David. I just want to make just put that letter in context with regarding COVID-19. The UK government sent out a list of people who are liable to catch this virus quickly. So those people were on the list. They were asked to stay away, be self-isolated for at least 12 weeks. But this situation then changed as they learned more about it. So originally asthmatic and diabetics were in it. Then after that, they dropped out the diabetics type 2 and asthmatics. So they had to then get back into the mainstream. They were able to work. They were able to go to work. So I'm just wanted to say that, like asthmatic, at first they were part of the 12-week disconnection, and then they were asked to come back. So I think the governments all over the world, they're just learning about the virus and setting up the different conditions. That's all I wanted to add to it.
Okay. As it relates to all that is being discussed in the United States, so, I mean, let's take New York. There's been this discussion about what's happening to blacks in the U.S. And we just discussed the situation facing many of the people who have died in the Barbadian community there. They're not, as far as we know, on the front line, health workers and that sort of thing. But when it comes to that general discussion now that has been taking place about the factors that are responsible for so many blacks dying, how do you all see this situation? Let's take your view, Mackie Holder.
David, you know, I always hold pretty opposing views. But the fact is, you would have that in New York because the people who are now the so-called essential workers are actually those that will be pretty much the lower earning ends of the society, and that would be your African Americans, to be politically correct, your Latinos, and so on. You would know that Barbados has a large proportion of its citizens who were in healthcare, a number of nurses, some doctors, and so on. Lots of Barbadians were in transit, and I believe at some time he should be. I gave him your number, Earl Phillips, who's a Barbadian. He's head of the union that deals with the transit workers, and they've been hit mightily hard. I think they have maybe 50 people who have died. So the issue really is that the workers, the African Americans, Latinos, and so on, would be the ones who are in the shops and the supermarkets are still open. There are still restaurants that are doing takeout only. But those are the ones who are still out there. Those are the ones who still have to travel on a train and so on. So there will be a higher rate of death
in both boroughs, and
unfortunately, you know, the average black person in New York is not going to be able to go to Long Island and so on, as a number of multimillionaires have been doing. Not that they have escaped it over there, but that is the reality. Now there's the argument about what has happened before, and yeah, those have contributed. But the focus now in terms of COVID-19 is that really and truly those are the people who are on the front line. So you're going to have a higher exposure. One of the things that has unfolded in the last couple of days would have been death in senior care facilities. And again, the caregivers are mostly African Americans, Latinos, and so on. So that is where you're having your spike.
Any other views on that? From other members of the panel there, Reverend Guy Hewitt. Do you have any thoughts on that? In the meantime, let us see if we can hear from this person with whom this person sent me this note earlier, and I'm going to try to see if we could share that.
This time I was still being hopeful that, you know, you could try it and it would work.
Okay, here it is.
Good morning, Brass Tacks Monday. Yes, this is Pedro Shepherd here. I'm just calling to share my story. On the morning of Wednesday, the 7th of April, 2020, my ex-wife, Lorraine Shepherd, called me and said that her mother, Yvonne Richmond, wasn't doing well. So I told her to ask her mother to drink some hot tea or soup or something like that, since I was seeing those remedies on WhatsApp for this COVID situation. Her response was someone would have to do it for her. She lived alone and was active and strong, but I suppose she wasn't well enough then to do it for herself. All this time I was still being hopeful that, you know, you could try it and it would work. I was told that she had been in the house for 3 weeks and failed to go outside to replenish her food and stuff, but was warned to make use of what she had inside the house. I'm told that she followed the advice of both Lorraine and Shalonda and remained indoors. Yvonne was in her late 70s and she lived in Brooklyn, New York for 30 plus years and until her passing worked as a nanny for several families across New York and New Jersey. I would have met her in the late 90s when my ex-wife and I traveled to New York, even before we were married. Her story is a sad one because she never came back to Barbados since leaving all those years ago. But she always ensured that her children, her grands, and her great-grands had whatever she could afford to send yearly.
Okay, well, thank you very much. We got that comment there from Pedro Shepherd. Yes.
That was one of the cases that I would have dealt with. I have been in contact with David's ex-wife. We've been talking over, and that is one of the saddest of a sad situation. What Pedro just spoke about, where you have a number of individuals who have no close families there. And